Francis and Michael Narea from Transcend Network. Today we're coming to you because we're partnered with DisruptEd and doing a series on innovation in higher education. Why don't we start with just a little bit about your background and before you got into Transcend, like tell me a little bit about you.
Yeah, happy to. Thanks, Darren, for having me on. Really excited for this. Yeah, a little bit about my background. I'm 34 now, got a 2-year-old son, probably more on the way. That's going to be an exciting journey the next 10 years. But if I look back at the last 15, I was a chemical engineer in undergrad, like 18 to 22. Chemical engineer, Northwestern University Engineering.
Yeah.
And the dean of our engineering school had every engineer take 2 years of human-centered design coursework. A lot of us learned how to empathize, listen to people, do observation studies before we even built any product, any service, any engineered design.
Right.
Fundamentally changed my entire life because I was, until then, I thought school was getting test scores, doing really well and trying to get into the best college I could. And then all of a sudden, I'm going through these experiences where like, we're not going to do test scores. We're just going to like learn how to listen to people and get the deeper meaning of why they feel certain ways and how we turn that into products and engineered designs. Anyway, that was so life-changing for 10 of us at the university stage that we started a club called Design for America that a lot of these students ended up scaling it to 40 universities across the United States to teach human-centered design to college students all over the U.S. I took it to high schools in South Florida after I graduated. So I never went into engineering. I graduated. I'm a chemical engineer as like by training. But I just went to the education space. So I believed in this way of thinking. And I thought earlier students should get access to this like way of thinking. And
right.
So did that for a bit, burned out quite a bit as an early entrepreneur in my 20s, and then hopped to more the accelerator side, working at GSV actually in 2015 for their pre-seed incubation lab they had at the time in Redwood City, California. And then never left the startup early stage education space since. And that's what led to Transcend Network today, where we're just coaching founders daily on running really lean product market fit experiments to learn from their customers, listen, observe, empathize with them before you go and start selling a bunch of stuff that they may or may not need or spending money building it. And so
That's why we're kindred spirits here.
Yeah.
Because I'm having a similar conversation with founders that I'm working with on a regular basis. And I think actually the framework that you guys put together at Transcend for your fellowship is hugely beneficial. It gives me a language when I'm working with early stage founders to think in terms of their experimentation and the ways that they're really trying to approach product market fit. But I'm curious, like, how did you get the bug to start Transcend? And was there something missing in the market that you wanted to fill, or like how did that come about?
I think my experience at what's called GSV Labs at the time, they were working with Phil Kotler before paper was paper, Carl Rictanis before he built Learn Platform, Jonathan Finkelstein at Credly. Like they were just starting out, and I was seeing all these early stage founders try to build in this lab, and they honestly needed someone to listen to them. They needed to process a lot of this, and they couldn't really trust, they could trust their investors with financing things, but some of the deeper inner workings, what was happening in their company founding experience, they had nowhere to really go to. So I ended up being that like internal ear confidant to a lot of these founders in the 2015 to 2017 range. And I realized after 8 hours of coaching calls a day, I'm like, wow, like if no one's giving these people this time, this is a gap in the market that's not being served. If I'm not the only one, but there's like a few of us out there just doing this.
Yeah.
This probably needs to be organized differently, marketed differently. And that's where the focus on product market fit really mattered, because at the end of the day, if you're not really getting sticky traction with your early customers, why are you fundraising? Why are you trying to grow? Why are you coming to conferences like this?
Right.
You really need to be focused on serving the people that matter most. And that's your customers. And the first 10 to first 20, get that right. And then you could scale from there. So we wanted to be the message for that and the coaching space for that to happen. Yeah.
I think coaching is the right term. Like I the way I see you guys approach this in the interactions I've had as a higher ed coach for you guys.
Yeah.
It it's what it is. It's really, it's a safe space to have conversations that, and then people are feeling pretty emboldened to be, you know, to set aside maybe some of their typical positioning and thoughts and say, all right, here's where I'm really struggling. And that requires somebody to facilitate a coaching atmosphere that feels safe and supportive. So that's wonderful. What do you see coming in on the education space? What are you looking for given sort of the dynamics of the market today?
That's a good question. I think the way we approach things is we serve like four broad, like ideal customer personas through our companies that we work with.
Okay.
Our companies that come to Transcend Network are either serving parents that are trying to figure out what's best for their children. They're either serving educators and administrators inside traditional school systems in higher ed or K-12. And then they're serving workers in the corporate space or in companies.
Yeah.
And then the students, which are learners, or, you know, at all different ages, adult learners down to early childhood. And when we think about serving those four customer personas broadly, I think what's going to be happening is AI is slowly making those four roles, parent, worker, learner. I missed one out.
What, educator?
An educator, yeah. AI is slowly making each of those roles more and more efficient. 1 hour at a time here, 2 hours here, preparing for you know, parent reviews in a school setting, like, let's optimize that. And I think what's going to be happening is people and companies and organizations can decide, okay, that extra time we're getting back, how do we want to use that? Do we want to give people more work, or do we want to like really listen to the deeper talents and bring them out so they could continue to add value to the organization? Or maybe people decide to go use that time more with their families. Others will start a side business. And I think that's the revolution in the future of learning and work that's happening, is the technologies that are being designed in around Transcend Network here at the summit are starting to make lives more efficient. And we have the choice. You have the choice now of what you want to do with that time. And that's like pretty empowering, I think, if you at all levels of the socioeconomic spectrum. Like,
right,
if I'm not very wealthy, maybe I like start, I don't know, generating more wealth in that time. Yeah. If I am really wealthy, maybe I'm spending more time with my kids. I don't have to work as hard.
Does it make it so much easier then to create new businesses that you think that a lot more businesses will sort of come about as a result of AI? How do you look at it from an investment perspective?
Yeah, before I get to investment perspectives, I think in the next 10 years, you really have the opportunity to, if you get very focused on a niche ideal customer persona, you can probably get 100 to 1,000 customers in that niche and just own that niche and be running a 6 to 7 figure business with you, some AI, and maybe like one other technical person.
Right.
And you now have a bootstrap lifestyle business, or it could be more if you want it. So before we even think about investment, I think with AI and just a little bit of agency and a little bit of guts in some ways, you could really, whether it's for an hour a day after work or like, you know, all day on the weekends, you could really start to generate these new businesses that are adding value to this new society that's shaping. So that's what's exciting about this space and a Transcend Network, is we're getting people bootstrapping businesses, getting to 50K a year in revenue off of like just passion and side time.
Right.
Now, when we think about investment, it's like, okay, everybody's able to build a 6-figure business now in the future with AI. Who's actually looking to build a bigger business, build a movement, not a lifestyle business, but something that can scale to multiple people around the world. And maybe multiple, like thousands, tens of thousands of people in that niche, maybe not even like changing your niche all that much.
Right.
Staying committed to your ICP, not going too broad that you're so diluted on what your mission is and what your brand is. So really keeping founders focused, I think, is the biggest challenge in what becomes investable and not. When they go too broad, it's hard to see how it's differentiated. If they stay really focused, then becomes more investable of like they kind of own that corner of the market. Like, I think investors are really attracted to that, especially in this market at this time where no one knows what's going to happen. So,
right. No, that makes really good sense. So I know this is actually, you're a new father, and I'm going to ask you a question that feels a little bit unfair, but you're also in a way a father of a lot of as a coach to a lot of different founders, it's probably hard to do this, but I'm curious, what companies you've worked with in the last year just stand out as just doing something really exceptionally interesting or different that maybe as a result of AI, that you could talk about?
Yeah. I think I'm going to share one that I think everyone in the world can connect with either through proxy or personally, they're going through this experience. We just had a founder graduate our fellowship. Her name is Laura Cunningham. She founded a company called Ava. And her entire focus is working with millennial moms around the world to take off all these little things that they have to do while raising like 1, 2, 3 kids so they can be more present with their children or be more present with their side hustle business they're creating while being mothers.
Yeah.
And things like signing their kids up for camp or like ordering the right food every week. Can you leverage AI for all of these small tasks? Yeah. Give the moms back 10 to 15 hours a week of their time and they can be more present with their kids. And that's something that is like a great use of AI. It's like not replacing human presence. It's taking all the things we don't want to be doing so we be fully present with our people. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's great.
And think about the cognitive development of kids when mothers can be more present, or fathers, this could be used by fathers as well, can be more present with their children.
Sure.
That primary attachment figure is now more present. They feel more safe. They're more emotionally regulated. And yeah, maybe downstream you have less problems and more focus in classrooms because of that. And
yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. As a society, we all benefit from this concept as well.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great. Well, look, last question for you. I know your time's, we're all pretty busy here, and I'm sure you're extremely busy here, so I appreciate you taking the time. But the last question I have for you is just looking out at what's happening here, what stands out at ASU GSV this year to you most? I mean, whether it's an individual speaker or a theme or an idea that's come across.
Yeah, the thing that sticks out here at the summit, at GSV Summit, companies are getting to $2 million in revenue. And there isn't a clear funding path forward for them. So they're really, really looking to partnerships for growth. Rev share distribution partnerships, we're seeing more conversations around that than ever before.
Yeah.
The bigger companies don't know how to keep up with the AI change. They're looking for ways to partner to acquire. So that this is the year. It's always been present, but I think I'm seeing more of that here than
really
in previous years.
That's really encouraging.
Yeah.
I mean, really, because I feel like that's something that a lot of smaller companies have wanted in the past, but they didn't feel like the opportunities were there. But you're saying you think these opportunities are there both ways, like the larger companies are wanting to partner, even more of the smaller companies are partnering together.
I think by the nature of how fast AI is moving, people don't have even if they're not emotionally ready as like CEOs of their bigger companies, like they have to make a move in the next 12 months.
Yeah.
Or else,
yeah,
you know, their market caps are up for grabs is basically what's happening. So
it's amazing.
So yeah, it's a forcing function. I don't think people are emotionally ready for the amount of like strategic partnership that needs to happen, but they're going to have to figure this out. Yeah.
Right. Well, we need to get an app for that too.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Michael, thank you so much for taking the time for this.
Awesome. Thanks, Aaron.
This is really great. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Thank you. Pleasure.